Is there anything that you would be willing to sacrifice your life for? If there is, you know, what would that be, and why is it that you would be willing to sacrifice your life for that particular thing? Stick around. We're going to look at passages that come out of Acts chapter 20 as we will look at the ministry that we've received. We'll see you in a minute. Hey folks, welcome back to our Wednesday evening Bible study. Just a moment ago, I asked you if there was anything that you would be willing to sacrifice your life for, and what would that be, and maybe as you think about it, why is it that you would be willing to do so? Today we want to look at passages out of Acts chapter 20 concerning the ministry that we have received, as well as one of the Lord's disciples. Look with me, if you would, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to Acts chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading at verse 17. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. It says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, that many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we just pray and ask that you would move in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will stir your spirit within us, that we might truly just hear from you. Lord, we realize that around us are distractions all the time. Help us, Father, to not be distracted from hearing the words that you would have us to receive today, that we might draw closer to you. Father, again, as always, I ask that as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would just empower me. Give me what is needed to communicate your word in a way that's meaningful to your people. Lord, bless our time as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these particular passages today, in our story, we see that Paul was crystal clear about the mission that he had received from the Lord and was prepared to sacrifice his life for it. Now, remember a minute ago, I asked you if there was something that you would be willing to give your life for. Paul was letting everybody know here that the gospel message was something that he was prepared to even sacrifice his own life for. Now, as we think about Paul, as we think about the apostles, the disciples, as we go through his word, and we compare it to today, you know, I want us to try to keep in the back of our mind as we go through these passages today, whether or not we are prepared to sacrifice our life for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not really, really good in the year 2021 or in this generation of sacrificing much of anything. Most of the time, it's about us wanting to gain for ourselves. But there are some things in life, and you've probably thought of them, that truly are worth sacrificing your life for. Now, when we look at this, Paul is reminding the Ephesian elders about the manner in which he lived his life among them. Those verses 17 through 20, he is giving that example of how he lived. And he said, in particularly verse 18, you know from the first day that I came to you from Asia in what manner I always lived among you. So he wasn't just talking about what he said to them. He was also talking about the testimony and the witness that he had that was unspoken, the way he lived his life. When people saw him, he was a reflection of what Jesus wanted him to be. And the question is, are we being reflections of what Jesus wants us to be, that we might be a witness, not just spoken, but unspoken, in those whose influence that we have in the areas, in the workplace, in the schools, in the neighborhoods, the people we come in contact with? When they see our life, do they see us living a life that is pleasing to God and in accordance with God's word? He goes on and he shares in verse 20, in verse 19, he said, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Now, there is a message just chock full of what he was sharing there. You know, it is important for each and every one of us, as Paul mentioned in verse 19, to have humility. Yeah, humility is the opposite of pride. It is very, very easy to find ourselves prideful in circumstances and situations, and it would be very, very easy as we walk as Christians to display pride in our lives. I can't tell you how many times that folks that really got in tune with God said, you know what, I didn't realize how prideful I really was in my life. And how much humility I really needed. But as I drew closer to the Lord through his word, he began to show me those areas of pride. And Paul is testifying to the fact that he walked in humility with them. He was an example to them, and his humility was something that was paramount in front of them. Now, notice what he said in the particular verses. He said, he mentioned that he ministered to them with tears. You don't have to turn there with me if you have your Bible, but I want to share a passage out of the book of Psalms, excuse me. It's Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. So we're going back to the Old Testament here, and in Psalm 126, 5 and 6, we read, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." As I thought about that particular passage, I still remember the old hymn, and some of you may remember that, but bringing in the sheaves. I used to sing that when I was little and was at my grandmother's house. And of course, she always said that I used to call it sheets rather than sheaves. So we were bringing in the sheets, but nonetheless, this is the passage. It says, those who sow in tears. Well, think about that passage for a moment. When you're talking about sowing in tears, what concept does that bring to your mind when you think about sowing in tears? You know, what will happen when we sow the seed of God's word with tears? Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, is that just sort of an adjective, meaning, what are you doing? You're crying, or there are tears coming as you're sowing God's word? No, folks, the tears are because you see the genuine need of the people that are around you, especially those that you know, and especially those that you love. When you see people that you truly care about that are lost in this world, and their eternal destination is going to be hell unless the gospel message of Jesus Christ changes that, it should do something to our heart. It should bring us to tears, tears of sadness, tears of desperation that we need to be out there preaching the gospel message. Notice what it says, sowing the seed of God's word with tears, meaning there's heart behind what we do. Now, you know, I've said so many times as we've gone through this Bible study that one of the things that we really need to do is that we need to look for examples in God's word that we can follow. So I want to ask a question, and it's a really, really tough question today. When is the last time that you wept real tears over somebody in your life that was lost? You know, maybe it's a spouse Maybe you're one of your children. Maybe all of your children. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe it is a coworker, somebody that you care dearly about, but by their own profession, they don't know the Lord as their Savior. By their own profession to you, essentially, if the rapture would occur or if their life would end right now, they would spend all of eternity in the place which burneth with fire and brimstone called hell. That should lead us to tears. That should lead us to our knees. Again, I mentioned a moment ago that should give us a desperation to reach out to them with the gospel message and sow the seeds of God's word. And it should bring tears to our eyes. I mean, you know, I can still remember the days, and we've talked about them before. I've asked that question many times. When is the last time that we wept over lost souls? Folks, we will never be about the Great Commission as an individual, and we will never be about the Great Commission as a church until lost people break our heart, until the thought of them spending an eternity in hell moves us to action and moves us to do something. Now, as we continue on with a look at our passages today, Paul says that he's going to face different kinds of trials as he goes into Ephesus. So when we think about that in verse 20 tells us this. It says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about trials and setbacks, we know that Paul's life was chock full of those. Why? He essentially caught more flack because of preaching the gospel. It wasn't that he was out there doing things that were essentially against the law or against humankind or human nature. Paul wasn't a mean person. Wherever he went, he was preaching the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. And because of that, people hated that. You know, people hated it when they saw Jesus' power among them do incredible things. When people were healed. I mean, I think of the one New Testament passage where Jesus was actually about healing people, and the citizens of the town got upset with him and said, you know, we'd rather you leave. They weren't looking at the fact that what Jesus was doing was great and good and right and wholesome for people. They were just looking at it as, well, he's competition and he scares us. Folks, there are people today who still have that same mindset. The thing of Jesus scares them. Folks, listen, the thing of not having Jesus ought to be the thing that would scare you, because hell's a mighty long time. It's eternal, just the same as heaven is, and both are very, very real places. But in spite of Paul's trials, he did not shrink back from preaching the gospel. In spite of the fact that he was arrested, in spite of the fact that he was beaten, he continued to maintain and continued about the ministry that God had given him. Now, I want us to pause there for just a moment, because I want to ask you this. What ministry, what is it that God has given you to be able to serve him with? What special talents and abilities has he given you that he requires you to use for his honor, for his glory, in preaching the gospel that other people may come to know him? You know, has he called you to be that Sunday school teacher? Has he called you to work with children? Has he called you to go on mission trips? Has he called you to preach the gospel? Whatever it may be. You know, here's something I can make a promise to you. Paul was letting us know this as well in these passages, that no matter what it is that you do, there are going to be trials. You know, I've said that many times that you could have Jesus as your revival speaker in the church and some people wouldn't be happy with it. They would think that they didn't like something about him. Listen, don't be that person. Have the humility about you to see what it is that God can do. Yet quit trying to beat people down for when they desire to use their God-given talents and abilities to see people come to know Jesus. Folks, we need to do a better job at loving one another. You know, when we look at this particular passage, you've heard me talking about pride versus humility. Now, both pride or both humility as well as boldness are important traits when it comes down to having, you know, a true spiritual leader in your life. You know, humility doesn't lord over somebody. You know, humility tucks pride back away, because we know that the word also tells us that pride goeth before the fall. But there also needs to be a boldness to stand on the truth, a boldness to stand on the Word of God. Now, I can think of many times over my time in ministry when I could share with somebody, we could be talking about God's Word. They knew exactly what God's Word said. They knew that you know, the topic that was being discussed may have been contrary to what God's Word had to say, and yet they shrunk back from it when it came the opportunity to have that holy boldness and to share with those friends or family or coworkers or whoever about what the Word of God said. They needed that boldness to step up, but they didn't exercise it. Listen, maybe that's been you before. Maybe that was in the past. Maybe there are times when you walked away from a situation where the Lord wanted you to express boldness in the truth. Folks, when it's in the Word of God, and when we can just sit here and say, hey, this is in black and white, or it's one of His precepts, then we need to stand boldly and firmly. There is going to be a greater chance for us having the opportunity to do that as time goes forward. Society doesn't want to have anything to do with God, godliness, Jesus, church, or anything else. They're trying to make everything subjective. No absolutes, because if there's no absolutes, then everybody's right and everybody's free to do what they want to do. Folks, last time I checked, the Bible is full of truth and it is full of absolutes, and we can stand on them, and we need to do so humbly, but we also need to do so boldly. What is your stake in that? Now, you might say, well, you know, what God's called me to do is not to be as upfront like you, the preacher, or you know, not to be in this position or that position. God still calls you to use those talents and abilities for Him. And because of doing that, when you do that, just like Paul, you're going to face trials. You're going to face tribulations. I pray God will give you the holy boldness not to shrink away from those responsibilities, but to stand firm, to do it humbly, but to stand firm and to be bold when you proclaim the truths of the Word of God. You know, when we look at that, Jesus was the greatest example for us in doing so. He exhibited that. Yeah, you know, I've always said that when Jesus would come up against a sinner, you know, there were trials and tribulations. A minute ago, I mentioned that they were trying to throw Him out of town for doing good things for people. But there was also that time when he stood in boldness. He stood in boldness when he tipped over the tables of the money changers, and he said, you know, my house is to be a house of prayer, but you've made it, you know, a place of thieves. Yeah, he stood bold even when he talked to the woman at the well and shared those when she shared the gospel with her, and then she said, he told her, go get your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. And he said, you've rightly said, you don't have a husband. You've had five, and the one you're with is not your husband now. He never gave people a pass on sin, but in humility, he pointed it out, but he stood boldly and firmly on the truths that we have out of the Word of God. So Paul was expressing the same thing to those, and he said, you know, at Ephesus, I know I'm going to run into some things. He said, I've been with you guys. I've stood strong. I've done my best. Now, some people would say Paul was prideful when he said that. No, he was just pointing out some facts. He was saying, I tried to be the best example for you that I could, not only in my spoken word, but also in the way that I live my life. Now, according to Paul, you know, there was two different places that he shared God's word with the Ephesians. And I think this is an important verse as well. Go to verse 20. Verse 20 says this. It says, how I kept nothing back, but that was helpful, but proclaiming it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul not only taught them in the public forum, in a gathering together to preach. He not only taught them publicly, but he also did so from house to house, one-on-one, personal witness, personal discipleship. And folks, I believe that is incredibly important today, that we not only have our witness and exercise our talents and abilities publicly, but also privately. It is important for us to share the message of Christ with others in both of those venues. You know, the thing about it is, just because I'm a pastor, just because I preach on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, that's not the extent of what God has called me to do. God has called me to be able to go to people one-on-one and share the same gospel message that I preach on Sundays and Wednesdays. And at any time I have an opportunity, that same message I need to preach privately as well, in the households, with family members, with our coworkers, and with people that we interact with. Are we doing that? So my question for you today is, are you, first of all, exercising the ability that God has given us, as well as the command he's given us to share the gospel? That's number one. Are you doing it at all? Number two is, are you sharing God's plan of salvation both publicly as well as privately with those who are in your life and those in your sphere of influence? What are you doing about that? Ponder that today. You know what? We've never done better at doing things than when we have purposed to do them. So if today you found yourself not able to answer that question in a positive way, then I want to encourage you, make some plans, purpose to do that, purpose to share God's love and God's salvation in public ways, purpose to share God's love and God's salvation in private ways, one-on-one with those in your sphere of influence. Now, let me say this. Those people that are in your life are not there by accident. God has placed them in your life for a reason. Maybe the reason God placed those people in your life is because it's up to you to share with them the plan of salvation, the call for repentance, and the call to give their life to Jesus Christ, that they might have eternal life with God Almighty in heaven. You may be the key to whether or not they will ever see the kingdom of heaven. When we think about it that way, that gives us a pretty healthy and heavy responsibility. I think each and every one of us are up to the task, and it's not complicated. Remember what we said a couple of weeks ago. It's simply about sharing the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard God do in our own personal lives. I honestly believe that that's part of the reason that so many folks don't really share their testimony, is because they're not allowing God to do things in their life, or they're not seeing God do things in their life. So they're not hearing and seeing things that they can be excited about to go share with those in their sphere of influence. My prayer is that you are walking so closely with God that you're seeing him do great and incredible things, that just like Paul and Silas, that you can't wait to get out and share those words with those that you know, that you love, and those that you have influence over. Yeah, they're two important words at the heart of the gospel message. Let's go back to verse 21. Verse 21 says this, testifying to the Jews, and also, this is verse 21, verse 20 says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The two important words right there are repentance and faith. You know, we've talked so many times about what repentance is. Repentance is the turning around, a 180-degree turn, going in the other direction, realizing, yes, I'm a sinner and I'm heading down sin road, but I'm going to make the turn towards Christ. I'm going the other direction. What we call it around here is a whoop around. We're going in the opposite direction. So repentance, going away from sin, heading towards God, and the other one was faith. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is believing in something even when you can't see it. Now, I always like to bring up at least one faith illustration when we talk about that, because so many people sit back and say, well, I just don't have the faith. It's hard for me to believe in this Jesus stuff. It's just beyond me. And I've always said you have more faith than you know. And one of the easiest ways to illustrate that is to simply ask people this question. And I pose the question to you today. Have you ever seen the wind? Now, you might be going, well, yeah, I look out, you know, and I can tell it's a windy day. Well, you've never seen the wind. What you've seen is the results of the wind. You see the trees moving, or you see little dust tornadoes going across the parking lot, or you see the bushes swaying in the breeze. So, but you don't have any trouble going and looking out the window and saying, hey, it's a windy day today. Well, you've just given an answer based on faith, because you can't see the wind. You can see the results of the wind. And in the same manner, you might not be able to see God today, but you can see the results of Him all around you, in your life, in nature, in other people. So remember, the two important words are simply this: repentance and faith. Now, since this message is so simple, why is it that you think most people fail to share that message? You know, I actually had somebody tell me one time that is the reason why I don't share in the manner that I should, because it just seems like it's too easy to me. Remember, Jesus said, we must become like a small child. We must have the faith of a small child. And children are so innocent and so pure, and they are so easy to reach out. They will believe what you tell them. That's why as parents often will teach them, listen, be careful of strangers, because they could lead you very easily astray. You know, when we think about those situations and the situation of the gospel message, it is so simple, and that's why so many people have such a hard time being able to believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit also told Paul something that as he was something was going to happen to him when he went to Jerusalem in verses 22 and 23. Notice what he said. He said, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And notice what he says. He says, I know the Holy Spirit has told me that there's going to be some tribulations and some chains. Folks, let me make you a promise that if you are walking with Christ the way that you should today, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. There is a false theology today that goes about that says, well, if you'll just trust Jesus Christ, then you're not going to have any problems in your life. That is unbiblical. That is not what the Word of God says. In fact, the Word of God says that your trials and tribulations will probably increase. The difference is this. You won't have to walk through those trials and tribulations alone. The Lord will walk through those tribulations and trials with you. He will give you direction. He will deliver you from them. That's the difference. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have them. It's often been said, and the Scripture bears it out, there were times when God simply could have just made the enemies of Christ just fall down dead before him, but he didn't do that. There were times when he said, you will go to battle. You will win the battle, but you will go to battle. Folks, you and I have to go to battle in our society today for the souls of those who are lost. You and I must go to battle for the sake of the cross. Remember the old song we used to sing as children in a vacation Bible school opening assembly? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. We are in a battle, and Satan doesn't want us to think that. Satan doesn't want us to know that, and Satan doesn't want us to have our eye on that, because if he can distract us, then he can have his way, and we don't want that. Yeah, if you were in Paul's shoes, he knows he's going to be facing trials and tribulations. If you were in Paul's shoes, how would this make you feel, knowing that you were going to be walking in to a situation where there was going to be spiritual warfare, where there was going to be trials, where there were going to be tribulations? Yeah, do you think that you would go to Jerusalem under these conditions? You know, there's a lot of people who sit back and say, you know what? I'm just tired of the battle. I'm a peacemaker. I don't want to go into it. I don't want to have to fight these battles. So therefore, I'm just not going to do it. Well, folks, when you do that, Satan wins. He'll win every time. Jesus told Paul, there's going to be trials and tribulations. He tells you and I today, there are going to be trials and tribulations. I'm telling you up front. You know, I'm just letting you know this is what lies ahead. Well, the question is, what are you going to do with that? Paul determined that he was going to go to Jerusalem. He determined he was going to continue to share the gospel. What is your determination today? Are you going to go forward knowing that there will be trials and tribulations? Will you continue to stand on the word of God? Will you do so boldly? And will you proclaim it to the lost people that God has sent in your life? Can you do that? See, what did Paul say about risking his life in Jerusalem for the sake of the gospel? Verse 24 tells us that. It says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, you know what? It is worth risking my life for. I'm going down to Jerusalem. I know that my life may be in danger, but it's not about my life. It's about kingdom's work. Folks, can we say that today? That is something that every church in America needs to understand. It is not about our sake. It is about the sake of the gospel, and it is about the work of the kingdom. So you know what? There will always be things that we personally do not like about our churches, our families, our friends, our neighbors, or whatever. But when it comes down to the sake of sharing the gospel with the kingdom, for the kingdom's sake, that the kingdom may be enhanced, that the kingdom may advance, you know, we need to put our pettiness and our pride aside that we might be used by God in the same way. The gospel is worth dying for. Do you believe the gospel is worth dying for? Paul made that crystal clear in his ministry as he went forward. The ministry that he had received from the Lord. Now, the ministry I've received from the Lord is preaching of the gospel, much like Paul. What is the ministry that you have received from the Lord? There are many talents and gifts and abilities. So what is the ministry? Is it part of the crochet team? Is it part of the greeters? Folks, these things are ministries. What has God called you to do, number one? Number two, are you purposefully sharing that ministry with other folks? You know, the Great Commission is what we read in Matthew 28. And I want to share that again because remember I said it talks about kingdom's work. But the Great Commission out of Matthew 28 verses 18 and following says this. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Remember what I said a moment ago? I said it's about kingdom's work. That is kingdom's work. It is about going out and making disciples, not just being evangelical, although that's part of it, but training others that they might be able to hear the word of God. It's discipleship. You know, it's getting in the word of God. It is sharing together. It is growing together. That's why church is so important. It is a place of discipleship. Not just evangelism, but also discipleship. And folks, it is worth dying for. You know, in what ways have we all received the same ministry today? Every one of us need to be working together for the cause of Christ. Yeah, you know, I've shared this at our church so many times. I said, you know, music ministry is a phenomenal ministry. And although God never gave me 1 ounce of talent in which to be able to do that, he has surrounded me with wonderful people that can, that have the gift of being able to sing, and that the gift of God using them to move other people's lives close to him or even bring them to him. So we all need to work together. You know, Paul says as he finishes these particular passages down in verses 26 and 27, he said that he was innocent of the blood of all. Now, a lot of people would look at that and say, what is he talking about there? Well, you got to kind of go back to the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, beginning at verse 7, and it says this. It says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." Verse 8 says, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hands. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his ways, and he does not turn from his ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Now, let me just kind of make that particular passage and statement very, very clear. Here's what the Lord is telling us. We have been given a ministry and a responsibility to share salvation through Jesus Christ. If we go and do that, and people still die in their sins, and they don't receive Jesus Christ, our hands are free of the blood of their loss. But he also says this. He says, "But if I put those people in your life and you fail to go out and share the gospel message of salvation with them, and they die in their sins, then their blood is on your hands as well." Folks, all I know is this. I want to be like Paul. I want to be innocent of the blood of all on my hands when I stand in the presence of the Father, having done the best I could to share Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and coming again. I pray that we were all on the same page when it comes down to doing this. So my question for you today is, are you innocent of the blood of others in your circle of influence today? Have you shared with them publicly and privately the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? You know, and maybe today you have sat back and you said, "Well, you know what? I'm guilty of that. Their blood is on my hands at this point." Well, there's something that you can do about it. What is it that you're going to do about it starting today? Will you purpose to be the witness that you need to be for our Lord and Savior? And may we pray today that we will share the gospel with others no matter what the cost, because folks, there's going to be a cost. Jesus told us that. No matter what the cost, will we share the gospel today?
People tell us, "Well, I'm not qualified to be a witness. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that." I want to share a personal experience with you. My granddaughter, when she was 5 years old, spent the night with us on Christmas night, and we had given her a journal to write in, and she was very good at writing at 5 years old. So when we went to bed, she was already asleep. I picked up her journal and looked in it, and there was a question in the journal that said, "What are you sorry for?" And she wrote in it, "I'm sorry I'm not a Christian." So I vowed the next day we would take care of that. So the next day, after we had breakfast and everything, things settled down a little bit, I talked to her and I asked her, I said, I saw in your journal where you said you're sorry you're not a Christian. Would you like to become a Christian today?" And she said, "Yes, sir." It's very hard for me to share this because it's such a tender moment, but she came and sat in my lap, and I introduced her to Jesus. Greatest experience of my entire life, but almost. Her dad picked her up. She couldn't wait to tell him that she had become a Christian. They went home. 2 or 3 hours later, Don and I went over to their house to see some of the things they had gotten for Christmas. She and her brother came to the door. And her brother was, she was getting ready to tell me something. He said, "No, let me tell him. You said you'd let me tell him." She went home and led her brother to the Lord in that 3 hour, 2 or 3 hour time. She had went home. She said, "Grandpa, I told him just like you told me." I thought, that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, 2 or 3 days later, my daughter called me and she said, "She's at it again." I said, "What has she done now?" "She's witnessing to the preacher's daughter." Okay. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. All you got to know is what's happened to you and be willing to have that passion. I've never witnessed anybody that I've led to the Lord that had that passion like my granddaughter did. She wanted to tell everybody she knew about Jesus. When you leave here today, tell somebody about Jesus. It's not hard to do. Just tell them what's happened to you.
Let me go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for our Bible study this week will be, as well as next week's passage. For this week, we're actually going to be looking at passages out of Acts 22 through Acts 26. There's your five chapters. You can start on them today, but Acts chapter 22 through Acts chapter 26 for this week. Next week, we're going to be looking at Paul's personal testimony out of the passage of Acts chapter 22, verses 1 through 22. Spend a little extra time as you study in there. In each of these passages, take one chapter a day. Let the Lord speak to you and draw you close to Him, that your life may be changed forever because you have gathered around His Word and because you've heard a word from Him. I pray that you're going to have a great week. We're going to look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday, but let's pray together as we're dismissed. Father God, we come to you now asking you to give us the things that we see that Paul was mentioning in these particular passages. Lord, we need humility. Help us to be humble servants in your sight. Lord, help us to be faithful to proclaim your word publicly as well as privately. Lord, with our spoken testimony as well as our unspoken testimony, may people truly see Jesus in us. Lord, help us in all that we do to fulfill your mission in our lives for those that are around us, those that you have placed us in the midst of. And then, Lord, I pray that you will give us the joy of being able to see the fruit that comes from being a faithful witness to you. Lord, bless each and every one of us. Give us a great rest of the week. Send us to somebody who needs to hear the story of Jesus Christ. As, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. I'll see you Sunday.